Solicitor Jerry Montella, Borough Engineer Matt Hootman, Councilpersons Laura Lim, Dave Ferksker, Natalie Anderson, Susan Clark, myself, Gina Marie Ellis, Mayor Fred Wood. Not with us tonight. Is Bob Adams with us tonight, Larry? Okay, not with us tonight is Bob Adams. And is Fred with us tonight?
No, I don't see him yet.
Okay, and Mayor Wood is also not with us tonight. Moving forward on the agenda, we have the opportunity for the public to address council. We ask that you state your name and address for the record.
Marta, do you have anything for Borough Council?
Yes, please. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great. Marta Driscoll, 458A Lanai Road. On December 2nd of 2019, a resolution was passed to accept the preliminary approval for the Rose Hill development with some 26 points. It left open as to whether or not the borough would accept the dedication of the 1.6 acres, stating that if no decision was made by January 17th, the decision would be to rescind the offer. So my questions are, was a decision made and communicated to the developer to accept or reject those 1.6 acres? And what have any of the 26 points from the developer been addressed?
I can answer the first part of that. As a borough council, we have not voiced an opinion on that, which leads me to believe that we would probably not take that property with the thought that it's open space regardless. And the responsibility to manage that would be on the HOA. But we have not formally passed a motion whether to take that property or to rescind the offer that was given to us. Matt, can you speak of the 26 items that...
Yeah, Marta, the developer fell out of contract with the owners quite some time ago, I guess that same general timeline. So the project actually went dead for over a year, probably close to 2 years. And that's probably one of the reasons why there wasn't closure on maybe the park issue. And certainly that's why there can be made no judgment whether those 26 conditions were met on the plan. Now, that being said, our office just received within the last month updated plans. Evidently, the original developer got back under contract with the property owner, wants to move forward, toward the end of this year, going into next year, and resubmitted plans that were updated for changes that PennDOT required them to make, and I guess to address any outstanding issues on the on a borough's review. So we'll be looking at those plans over the next month and issuing new review letters.
Okay, great. Thank you so much for your response. One more thing. Laura, it was a really good event. I just wanted to let you know that, finally got the sunshine when we needed it. So I just wanted to say congratulations on your first recycle day.
Thank you. And thanks for your help. Everybody was great. It was awesome.
Okay. Tony, do you have anything for public comment? Not hearing anything. Eileen? Not hearing anything as well, Drew.
Okay, so is that...
This is Tony. I think you had everybody on mute, so I just unmuted myself. I just wanted to join.
Okay.
First time I had an opportunity to join a meeting, so...
Okay. That should be it, Drew.
Okay, Larry, thank you. Okay, moving forward on the agenda, up next is item number 4, motion to authorize solicitor and engineer to attend the September 29th zoning hearing board meeting. As we all know, tomorrow night is the zoning hearing board meeting, and this motion is simply to authorize our assistant solicitor, Pete Rohana, and the borough engineer, Matt Hootman, to attend that meeting on behalf of the borough to ask questions, to gather information, and see where that brings us. And after the meeting, if we decide we need to have our own traffic study done, I think Pete and Matt have both found a traffic engineer that could do that for us depending on testimony that they hear at the meeting tomorrow night. So without any further delay, do I have a motion to approve the borough assistant, I'm sorry, specialist solicitor and the borough engineer to attend the September 29th zoning hearing board meeting?
I'll make the motion.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Floor is open for discussion. With no discussion, all those in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
Hello?
The motion is approved.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I just had to, Eileen Lehman is here. I just had difficulty getting the audio working.
Larry, you're on mute.
Dean, do you have something for public comment then?
Yes, I do.
Okay, Drew, can you?
Sure, please.
Right, what's your public comment for Borough Council?
Okay, my comment is with respect
to the person
to the,
state their name and address.
You need a name and address, please?
Sure. Eileen Lehman, and that's 304 Stanton Court. And that's in Glen Mills, PA, 19342. Okay. I'm a unit owner in Darlington Woods, and there was a land disturbance permit that was issued September 16, 2020. And in terms of, I did a right to know request, and there's basically just like a one sheet. I sent the email on this, which I believe people were emailed previously. Just a one sheet thing that just basically said Darlington Woods and, you know, that it was approved. And then there was a sketch showing some parking spaces in red blocks. And it's just that the sketch does not accurately represent the actual layout of the land. And I was able to retrieve via the right to know request as well, like one of the, you know, the 1992 plan of the land as well, and that is different as well. I believe in 1992 had 28 parking spaces, and the current sketch that was submitted had 36 parking spaces, adding seven, and you know, in reality there's 40 parking spaces in the one area being discussed, and there are, you know, so it's like, well, what exactly is being added? And also the layout of the parking areas is different, you know, in reality than what it shows on either of the documents. So I just, as like, as a member of the public, like, how do you know what is actually being permitted and what exactly is being permitted? And that's really my question. Just, you know, how does one know what the borough actually approved?
Eileen, I have a question for you. This is Drew Baum, Council President. Was this offered to the HOA as far as the layout of these parking spots? Was it voted on by members of your community?
No.
It was not?
No, yeah, none of the unit owners, at least as far as I can tell, because people are telling me that, yeah, they've been waiting for this. And, you know, they had no one, none of us have seen the layout of the parking spaces. But I guess my question is just that, it's just even like at a higher level, just at like the bureau level. I just wanted to let you know, like, if someone, perhaps they were sort of relying on the sketch that was submitted, but I just want to let you know that sketch is incredibly inaccurate. And I believe I can actually share my desktop. I mean, I have a little video. It is about 11 minutes long. I can speed up the, parts, you know, just going in between the parking areas. And, you know, to show you the real layout of, one of the main area, that they're adding, like, seven spots to. So it's just the fact that, you know, there's already 40 spots, and now they're going to add more, and none of the, you know. So just how do, as a member of the public, do I know how the layout of the land is, you know, how it's going to be affected?
President Baum, if you'd like, I can respond.
Please, Matt.
Okay.
Yeah, I spoke to Eileen. Hello, Eileen. What I indicated to her is that the borough was approached with the plan to add, maybe 20 parking spaces plus or minus throughout. the entire Darlington Woods development. It was submitted by the HOA, and they with the purpose that they were tight on parking and they needed some more parking spaces. So in terms of how to address that for permitting, it was my thoughts that they were to submit a land disturbance permit because they were disturbing ground. That permit would allow us to go out and look, make sure that they're not sediment isn't rolling or you know, leaving their excavation and running down the storm sewers and what have you. But in terms of, you know, an accurate depiction of the parking spaces, I mean, that really, really wasn't a primary concern. The request was 20 spaces scattered throughout the site. It was my feeling that that would be the HOA's responsibility to indicate where they'd want the additional parking spaces and do whatever they needed to do as a community to gain the necessary approval to do so. So I think in this case, the borough was only acting on a land disturbance permit to make sure that if and when construction started, that it would be done appropriately. There's certainly enough stormwater management with the basins in that site to handle the slight increase of 20 or so parking spaces over that fairly vast development.
Well, okay, I mean, okay, I mean, I guess it's just like why did they submit and just even say where they were even putting parking spaces? You know, why did they even put red boxes on there if that was the case? And it's just also like the underlying, like, so you're saying that it doesn't really, like, the amount of ground cover is not accurate, like covered ground. I mean, you know, ground that is, you know, now covered by permeable, you know, impermeable surfaces is not accurately depicted in those, in the plan or in the sketch that they submitted. There's more land that is actually covered by impermeable surfaces, whether it be additional units, whether it be additional parking spaces, than is actually, you know, depicted in the sketch.
Well, again, I think one of the plans that you were forwarded was a proposed plan. Whether it was changes to that over the years, I don't know. Another plan, I think, was one that our office did for an as-built or a condominium plat. Again, that was many, many years ago. The sketch was provided, I think, to provide us with the general idea of where they're going, you know, which quarter they're going, about how many are going where. Again, it was never the intent, nor was it my demand, that they submit a accurate as-built and an absolute accurate placement of the parking spaces. The sketch that was submitted gave us a general idea of what was going on. And again, with that type of additional spaces, spaced sporadically through the development, we were just looking for the land disturbance issues to be appropriately addressed.
Okay. And I understand that, that what you're saying is that, you know, you're not necessarily tying them to, you know, no, you're going to put it right here, or you're going to put it right here, or you're going to put it right there, like a particular parking space. But I'm just also pointing out that, just for the record, that the sketch that was provided, you know, that, that they provided also does not accurately represent the amount of, you know, impermeable surface. They're showing more, you know, permeable surface, you know, to handle drainage than actually exists. That's all I'm saying. So that's, I mean, that seems to be to your point about, you know, you're concerned maybe more about the overall as opposed to individual things. But I'm saying the overall permeable surface versus impermeable surface is that they are depicting is not accurate in the sketch that they provided.
About how many more parking spots, Eileen, would you say are actually there as opposed to what was shown on the original sketch?
So on the original sketch, there are actually just physically right now, there are actually 40 parking spaces. The sketch shows 36 in, and not in the same locations they're really at. But so the sketch is saying they're going to add 7. So it's like, okay, so they're actually going to be adding, so are we going to have 47 spaces or are we going to have 43 spaces? And the other thing too is the sketch that they submitted shows like two areas where there's like a 3 parking spaces and then like an open area where in reality that's all covered with units. There's no little open spaces in 2 of the areas. I think it's pointed out in the discrepancies memo. Those are all filled in with units.
Ma'am, have you discussed this with the HOA? Have they responded to your questions?
Well, I think the HOA, you know, I mean, that's, you know, that's a different, you know, issue, but this is just more, you know, just to let you know that the sketch that was submitted, you know, and thank you for clarifying, like, you're not actually interested in the exact, you know, position of the parking spaces, but you are interested in, you know, how much, you know, land is being covered with, you know, impermeable surfaces affecting the drainage. And I'm just letting you know that, you know, even with what was submitted, they are not accurately depicting how much land is really covered with an impermeable surface.
And that's the background information you're talking about, right?
Well, I just like the like I point out in the discrepancy.
It's the background things. Information, though, not so much the new spaces.
Well, just not so much like, well, I mean, it is also now they're going to be adding new spaces, so they're going to be adding, you know, more impermeable land. So in reality, we have 40 parking spaces, okay, right now, currently. And on their sketch, they show 36, and they show that they're adding 7. And so I'm like, okay, so does that mean that they're really adding 3, or does that mean that we're now going to have 47 spaces? And I'm also pointing out that on the sketch that they provided, for example, I think it was between they showed two areas. Where are we? Like on
Mr. President, I think we're going beyond what the sketches were submitted for. The sketches were submitted for just to give a general indication of where they wanted to put the additional spaces and about how many. Now, if there was errors in background information on the plans that they used to do that, that very well may be the case. But again, I think that's outside the scope of what the borough is looking at here.
Matt, would you say?
Well, I thought drainage was an issue. Drainage was an issue when you're adding parking spaces. And so, like, you know, they're depicting between, like, for example, if you look at the sketch of Darlington Woods at the bottom, like between building 43 and 42, I mean, it looks almost like an open area, right? There's no units there, but that's not true. That's all filled in with units.
Well, that's existing background information. That's not what's on the table right now. What the request was to install approximately 20 plus or minus additional parking spaces.
Well, I think the sketch is important for drainage. I mean, that's just, you know, my opinion. I understand, you know, you have different ways of doing things, but I'm just saying that if drainage is an issue, and you know how much, you know, impermeable surface you're putting down for just things like drainage, and as well as traffic control, by the way. I mean, you know, that's an issue, and this sketch does not accurately depict that. So I can't really, you know. I mean, if you say, you know, I want to go around and I inspect the area or something like that, and you know, and I think also that should be, you know, if that is part of the process. Like the basis, the reasonable basis for you know, a decision by a public body, it should just be evident in the records.
I think we're at the wrong forum here. It was only a land disturbance permit application. I think if you have issues with where they're putting the spots, I think the HOA needs to address those for you.
Sure.
Okay, so you're saying that land disturbance, what is land disturbance is only concerned about how the machines will be moved?
The request again was for the HOA of Darlington Woods put a request in to install 20 plus or minus additional parking spaces to relieve, I guess, parking congestion in the development. That was approved. We asked for the land disturbance permit to process that so we could overlook the construction. The borough was not involved in making sure that whatever plans were submitted accurately depicted every building location and every aisle and every parking space. I think that was outside the scope of what the HOA was looking for.
Okay, so drainage concerns are not part of the land disturbance permit criteria.
That's not what I said. You're saying the background information was incorrect. I mean, they're not installing the background information. What's there is there. What was being proposed is an additional 20 spaces, and that, my opinion, was not of the magnitude to require them to do additional stormwater. There are stormwater facilities at the property.
Eileen, if I could just step in real quick. It seems like...
Based on your review of the property?
I'm sorry?
Based on your review of the property, the physical inspection of the property? Is that what you're saying, that you didn't feel it was a drainage, or?
I'm quite aware of the layout and the stormwater facilities of that development.
Mm-hmm. Matt, if I could ask you, would you say that that development is far under their maximum impervious coverage?
Yes, far under.
So 20 parking spots, 30 parking spots, 35 parking spots would not bring them close to that maximum coverage amount?
That's correct.
And Eileen, really? How many parking spots are
totally
actually in right now?
I would totally disagree with that. I would totally disagree. Just for the record, I would totally agree. If you tried to add, like, you know, 35 spots or something like that, there's not going to be a tree left to draw on your foot, okay? We are pretty tightly packed in there, and it's I see when we have the rains and everything like that, I mean, it's a river. It's a river. I mean, you know, the last that hurricane, forget about it. I mean, people were practically driving through, you know, they got those high SUVs, thank goodness, because it was like, you know, getting to be really high water and all this kind of stuff. And it's just from, you know, so I would disagree. I would say that, you know, I'm just saying that I don't think we definitely couldn't handle 35 spaces. And so, you know, I mean, a 20 throughout the entire place, well, that's what they're saying. But I think we're getting too much parking. And, you know, there'll just be more and more storm drainage problems.
Eileen, if you think that the HOA is, you know, over parking the facility now, I think you need to take that up with the HOA.
Well, I'm just saying that, you know, the background data or whatever you want to call it, or that, you know, I'm just saying that if people are submitting things, they should be accurate. And if they're not accurate, they should verify.
Not necessarily. Not when they're merely asking for 20 plus or minus parking spaces, providing the borough with a general indication of where they are. It would be, out of scope to demand them that they do an as-built survey of their entire facility to make sure every building is shown correctly, every parking space. We're not at that level now. If they wanted to put up a whole new set of units, or put up a whole new parking base somewhere, of course we'd be asking for that information, but not for what was sought after at this time.
Eileen, would you be able to maybe send in a couple PDFs to the borough office tomorrow so they could be distributed to all the council persons? I think we're kind of shorthanded here without seeing this in front of us as far as where these parking spaces are.
Well, I think I believe Sue forwarded the emails with the discrepancies and with the the attachments are just, you know, the sketch, the permit, and the original and the plan from 1992. So that was not forwarded. At least Sue forwarded.
I forwarded it around 4:00 when I talked to you today.
Right. Right.
Okay. So if we have that email in our inbox, Eileen, we can look that over and have a little better knowledge and a little better benchmark to go by as far as where these spaces
are
in regards to the development.
Okay. I do have a video of, you know, the video just walking around showing how things really are. But I was having real difficulty trying to get it like uploaded and sent. I can either give it to you on a memory stick. Or, I think I can share my desktop, but it is like 11 minutes long.
I think a sketch would be better served, Eileen. This way we would have,
a sketch of how things really are.
Maybe a sketch of the development, maybe with red X's where the new proposed parking spots are being created. So this way we have an overall view of the whole development.
Okay. Yeah, that was the sketch that. Okay. Well, you understand that Johnson Woods HOA did submit that, but it's not accurate.
Okay.
So I think they should be. So they should. You know, you could just suspend the permit and just say, please give us an accurate.
You have that sketch, picture. Could you pencil in where these spaces actually are?
Well, I'd have to actually erase some. I could do that. I'd have to actually erase something.
Okay.
And, you know, that aren't there. And then, you know, because they're actually located elsewhere. But I'd have to, like, take off their red and, I don't know, put a different color in there or something like that. But I do think the HOA should have
you know, found a better map or something like that, and they should really be responsible for actually depicting it. I mean, I can do that, I guess. I mean, I guess I could try and take still photographs, but I don't know if that will.
I think an overall sketch showing the actual locations of these parking spots would be best. This way, we'll have an overhead view and a better chance at encompassing everything that's going on there.
Mm-hmm. All right.
If you could send that in, we could send that out to all the council persons, and then we could have a better idea to have this conversation with you. But, you know, I think for a borough, our major standpoint is, are they close to their maximum impervious coverage? And the answer to that seems to be no. I think the HOA would have to have answers for you. Are there any other residents who have expressed dissatisfaction where these parking spots are or where they are not?
Yes.
There are?
Yes.
Okay, and has President Goldberg addressed any of these with you or any other residents?
Not that I know of. I've sent emails and they haven't responded.
But, okay.
But I mean, I'm surprised that they have not called a meeting and asked about the sketch, and they don't seem to be sending it out. But that's a deal. You know, that's a private, you know, HOA type of issue that would have to be addressed.
And just to be clear, the HOA did not vote as a whole as to where these parking spaces would go?
No.
They did not?
No. No one even knows. I mean, so first of all, some people are, you know, upset that they're putting in these parking spaces. And then and then other people are also upset because they have no idea where they're going. And, you know, and other, and particularly people who play by the rules, and you're supposed to, you know, people who use their garages and their driveway for their cars, because every unit has a garage and driveway. And, you know, and then there's just people who, you know, refuse to clean out their garages and play games with the rules so that they don't have to pay fees and all this. They don't register their cars and they do all this kind of stuff, so they avoid getting fines for not parking where they should. And, you know, they don't want to have to walk. They don't even check, like, the next row over to see if there's parking. You know, it's got to be right at their door. So there is there's that issue. That's really the private thing. I mean, I just want to clarify that, you know, I mean, at this point, you know, they've got this permit. They're going to be rolling over us, paving over us the week of October 12th. I mean, it's really sad. And, you know, I mean, everything seems to be on the side of all these conglomerate HOAs, and, you know, there's a lot of, sure, multiple landlords in there making a lot of money off of packing people in with the rents and everything. But the people who actually have to live there and actually paid, you know, with these units and stuff like that, you know, the individual people, you know, it's basically too bad for you. So, you know, there's, and anyways, but that's really the separate thing. The real issue is really the, you know, I think they should have to provide an accurate description of the land, not the people who are, you know, later find out, you know, after the fact about these permits and all this kind of stuff, and that the bulldozers are coming. I mean, that's what seems unjust from the local government. You expect your local government to expect accurate data, and and obviously you make the decision. The accurate data, maybe, you know, once you get the accurate data, you may say, hey, we're still fine, you know, impermeable versus permeable, we're still fine. But, you know, at least people know that it was a reasonable decision made on transparent data and accurate data.
Sure. Eileen, I think your HOA should have offered the residents in your community a voice in this matter. It seems like they have not, which surprises me.
Well, I mean, I think there's, well, whatever, you know, they did not. So, you know, but anyways, all right. So as far as I think going forward, at least with respect to the borough, is now I have to do the work that Darlington Woods should have done, or any permit requester should have done, and accurately depict the land that is being changed. But I will do it.
I mean, I think you're putting too much in terms of what was applied for and what they need to do. They asked for permission to space 20 spaces sporadic throughout the development. The HOA made that application. I don't think the borough really has a concern whether a space is put in location A or location B.
If the well, I have a question, because I did the right to know application, right to know with respect to the permit application, and all I got was, you know, the exhibit there, just this one sheet. And all it says is, doesn't even say what they want. It just says Darlington Woods. It gives the address. It gives the phone number. It just says the land disturbance. And it just says the date. So, I mean, if they put an application and asked for 20 parking spaces, I should have been provided that data as part of the right to know. I asked for the application. And all I get is this thing with the permit. I asked for the application. Is this all they gave you, just this form with their name and address and, you know, Andrea's signature and the sketch? Is that all that's in the application, just to clarify?
Matt, so
you're saying they asked for 20 spaces.
Mr. President, if this is Jerry Montella. If the requester asked for a public document, which was the Act 247 application, land development permit, that's what she was provided. If there's no other documents, then there's no other documents. And I can tell you that the borough engineer did reach out to me with regard to the appropriate process. We discussed it, and I believe the borough engineer made the appropriate decision with regard to having the land development, land disturbance application and the permit to give the borough the opportunity to make sure that the improvements were done correctly.
Well, nothing here shows 20 parking spaces, so whatever. So Eileen, I don't know where the 20 parking spaces are coming from.
Would you be able to provide us with an accurate sketch? Could you send that in a PDF?
Yeah, but I'm
so
I can only,
get a
I'm not going to do the whole. I'm not going to do the whole Darlington Woods. I'm just going to do what I have from the sketch that they sent me.
Okay.
And I'm only going to do Stanton Court and Danbury Lane. That's it. I'm not going all the way over to, this is ridiculous, Nottingham Court, Nottingham Lane, Windsor Court, and all this type of stuff. I'm not doing all that. That's ridiculous. And, I mean, that was their job, not mine. And so I'm just going to do the Danbury Lane section. The one that the sketch that was forwarded to me as part of the RTK, which is basically, I think it's Exhibit D. And then I'll just have to redo Exhibit D to reflect, you know, the actual land cover. But
if you could send that in, that would be great. And I will reach out to President Goldberg this week just to kind of get a better handle on what the HOA made available to the residents there prior to starting this work.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. And then if you want, we can make contact with each other end of this week or beginning of next week and discuss what he had to say. And maybe if you have that sketch, we'll all have a better idea of what's actually happening there and where these spaces are going.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay, thanks.
Eileen, thank you. I'll look for your information to come in. Okay, moving forward on the agenda, we have item number 5, Committee to Reestablish Rail Service to Westchester. Councilman Fertzger, can I hand this off to you, please?
Of course. Did we, sorry, I know Eileen started talking during the motion for the solicitor and engineer. Was that completed?
I believe it was.
Okay. So we had a reach out from the Westchester, and sorry, I had this email open, the Westchester Railroad Committee. They're looking to apply for a grant to get money and funding from the Chester County to provide data that would give information on why the benefits of extending the SEPTA line from the new Wawa station over to Westchester. They've asked Chester Heights as well as other surrounding boroughs to provide a letter that basically expresses interest and provides the support of Chester Heights Borough Council to their application for this grant. So before I, as the Committee for Highways and Transportation, submitted the letter, I first wanted to share it with council to see if anyone had any resignations or hesitation in providing that support to the Chester County Railroad Committee. And I know Sue had sent the letter out. I'm not sure if you guys had seen that or if you'd like me to read it, but does anyone have hesitation in providing that kind of support? It's simply a letter. There's no kind of financial support or anything along those lines. It's to help the Railroad Committee get the grant from Chester County so they can get the data to show the value of the railroad extension.
I think that's a great idea, Dave. Is that something you can have composed for next meeting or October meeting?
So the letter's already composed. It was a cookie cutter letter from Joanne Kelton, who's the chair of the Committee to Reestablish Rail Service to Westchester. She initially had requested the letter be sent last week, a 9/25 deadline for submission to the county. I spoke to her on the phone. I explained to her that we didn't have a meeting scheduled until today. We wouldn't be able to address this until today, and I did not feel comfortable sharing the letter without at least getting council's input and approval from members of the Chester Heights Council before sending that letter back. So she did actually get an extension from the Grant Committee of Chester County. I told her our meeting was on 9/28. She said, hey, if you guys have that conversation, it's okay to share the letter. It would be very helpful for us to share that share on 9/29 so we can show continued support from the surrounding communities.
Okay, so do you want to call for a motion then, Dave?
I would like to call for a motion for Chester Heights Borough to submit this letter that Joanne Kelton has requested, yes.
I'll make the motion.
I'll second.
Floor is open for discussion. With no discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? The motion is approved.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dave. Okay, next up on the agenda, item number 6, motion to revise June and July's treasurer's report. Sue Timmons, could I pass this off to you, please?
Yes. On June 20th, I received an email from the tax collector stating that she received the Arbor Square tax interim payment and that the borough would be receiving a check for $14,669.83. And on June 22nd, the tax collector realized that the tax payment she received was postmarked 5 days after the discount date. So the payment should have been paid at face value versus the discounted rate. So the tax collector had to wait 3.5 weeks for Chicago Title Company to issue a check for the difference. So the payment was delayed, and then it was finally issued in July. So the borough received the two checks. The borough's portion for the interim was $8,267.47, and the fire company was $7,348.80. So the tax collector then clarified that the payment was between the borough and the fire company. So I first asked to revise the June treasurer's report, but after discussing it with the finance committee, it seems more appropriate to ask for a motion to delete the interim payment for June and then to, for the July treasurer's report, motion to make adjustments to the payment. There's $299.39 in the interim. But to remove that and put the total that was received, $8,267.47.
So, President Baum, we've got two motions. I'd like to make the first motion to delete the original interim payment of $14,669.83 for June's treasurer's report.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second.
The floor is open for discussion.
I'm just curious, where does that appear on the June treasurer's report? What line?
It's on the fourth line. Are you, if you go to the Chester Heights website and you look at the June treasurer's report, it's the fourth line down, interim.
I was looking at the one you sent on email. That's what I was trying to find.
Oh, okay. Well, that one I sent with the 14,000 removed. Okay. I sent one today at 4 o'clock to clarify it.
Okay. So the June, the meeting minutes would be the June 1st, 2020 regular council meeting minutes, and that would
It would be the July regular council meeting.
Okay, I'm sorry. I clicked on the wrong thing. I apologize. Okay. Wouldn't the minutes have the...
Yeah, the minutes have the 14,000 interim payment.
It's not on the minutes from July 6th.
For ChesterHeights.org?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm on it now. Agenda and minutes. July 6th. It's there. It's the fourth line. 14,669,83.
Oh, geez. I don't know. Okay, I see it now. And so the new one has that out of there.
Yeah.
Okay, is there any further discussion? Susan, does that answer your question?
No, because these don't, I mean, okay. So we're just taking the interim out, remove the interim. Okay.
Any further discussion?
Yeah, just that the treasurer's report that she sent out looks completely different than one in the minutes, but I'm going to go with the one in the minutes.
Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Motion is approved.
All right, sir. Thank you, everybody. We have a second one. This is to modify the July Treasury's report based off the correction made by the tax collector and the clarification. And that is the motion to make the adjustment to the payment amount from $299.39 to $8,267.47 for the July's Treasury report.
I'll make the motion again. Is there a second?
Second.
Floor is open for discussion.
What was the amount? $299.39, you said?
Yes.
And so that will now appear as $8,267.47, right?
Correct.
Thank you.
Okay, all those in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved. Thank you, Sue. Thank you, Laura. Okay, moving forward, I have number 7 on the agenda, PICO Green Grant. Councilwoman Lim?
Yes. So this is a PICO Green Grant that Sue told us about. Gina and I are going to research it, and we're going to present it to council, the regular council meeting. But from what I can see so far, and I'm going to research it and clarify, it's a grant that closes on October 31st. And it's a grant up to $10,000, matching $10,000 to be awarded, and then we must match it. So Gina and I are going to do a little bit of research on this one, and then we're going to present it at council, and then she's going to help me draft it and submit it. And this is specifically for the Chester Heights Park for improvements and the way ahead that we've mentioned to try and take advantage of this short-term grant. But I just wanted to provide that so regular council, it's not the first time you hear it. Are there any questions? All right. Thank you. And I'll send it out once Gina and I kind of have our heads wrapped around it.
Okay.
So everybody can see it.
Laura, thank you. Hey, moving forward, do we have any old business tonight?
I just have one thing from Mayor Wood. He requested for me to remind everybody that the budget is being formed. So look at your committee, look at what you spent this year, look at what you think you'd like to do project-wise next year, and please get him and Laura and to your numbers I forget, what's the deadline, Laura? What was the request?
Sue, didn't we say that we wanted them by mid-October, or is it early November? What did you want everybody's for the budget?
Next work session, maybe?
Yeah, no, it definitely by mid-October.
Okay, mid-October, okay.
Are we going to send out a year-to-date analysis of actual spending versus budget to help guide us in doing that?
Yeah, that's on the agenda for the next meeting, okay. October.
Right. But like, Sue, one of the things that came up for the budget, just for you, I think Dave's on it, is the planning, is the comprehension plan for the borough of Chester Heights is due in 2023. And I know at the beginning of the binder of the hard copy that Sue has, there's a grant link in it. And then there's a paragraph in there that talks about the comprehension plan. And it says about 24 months out, you should go apply for grants. So that's something that you might want to work with Dave on to figure out. Because from what I when I took it to my borough, I don't know, that borough course that I went to boot camp, they talked about how you can get grants and you pay engineers and other folks to help make modern schematics and things like that that you actually submit in the comprehension plan. So there's a big level of effort there to apply for grants. So I just wanted to throw that out there.
Laura, thank you. Okay, moving forward, is there any other old business tonight?
Yeah, what's the status of the sewer plan?
I had a conversation with Mike Sciocco Jr. late last week. I have a list of things that were not on that plan, and we've phone tagged for about 3 days now. So I will make it a point to get back to him prior to Friday, probably Tuesday or Wednesday, just give him a list of what we expected versus what the first draft had actually looked like. Okay. And have him maybe change direction slightly more towards what we were expecting.
And I have a question about that motion we made on the June, July. So how much money did we actually collect? Was it $14,669.83 minus or plus 2%? What was the...
For the borough's portion, it was 8,000. Wait a second. Let me pull up.
Because I'm wondering, what happened to the fire amount? What did we do with that?
That got deposited into the Bryn Mawr Fire Protection Fund.
I see. Okay, so it's not on the treasurer's report.
Yeah.
We inadvertently included it on the treasurer's report.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, moving forward, any other old business?
President Baum, I just want to thank everybody for a good recycling day. I know I'm going to be able to provide updates with good numbers, but I do want to thank everybody for coming out and supporting. The weather was great, and we had a huge turnout. So I just want to thanks to council and all the volunteers that helped out.
Lauren, thank you for hosting this and organizing it. It was a great event. Apparently, from what you had told me, it was the biggest ever that we've had, I think.
I don't know. It was a success. Incredible. I don't know. Okay. I don't know those numbers. I don't know.
All right, great. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, any further old business? Okay, moving forward to new business. I'm sure you've all seen the email that went out late today. Alan Strickler, who is currently the borough's animal control officer, made the borough aware that he is providing stray dog services. The borough entered into a contract with Brandywine SPCA to handle stray dogs. I believe that was in December of 2018. I have that in front of me somewhere. Anyway, we have been paying them probably too much money for the services that we require. I believe in 2019, we had maybe three stray dog calls. In 2020, I think we had one cat and two dogs. With that being said, Councilman Lim had put together just a real brief analysis of what we currently pay versus what we would pay if we switched the stray dog services to Alan Strickler. He does not do cats, so that would be one thing we would have to talk about if he could add that to his services. But for next meeting, I think we'll be a little more informed when we have more time to look over this information. Laura, can I pass this to you briefly just to give us a real brief synopsis of what we pay versus what maybe we need or what we use?
Briefly, sure. So the email that went out, there's an Excel spreadsheet, and I titled it Dogs and Cats. So if you open up the Excel spreadsheet, the crux of it is that in 2019, we entered into an agreement with Brandywine SPCA because Delaware County, I'm going to mess up the title, but they basically no longer took pets for the county. So at the time, it was a very good alternative to not having one. And then through Darlene and Sue working with them, paying the fees and the annual fees and the monthly fees and the limited amount of animals that were actually in the borough that we're requesting support on. When I was there, we were talking finances. They brought it to my attention. So I just took the contract and I broke it down. And I called Mr. Daniel Archif and I spoke to him. So the crux of it is that we are in a financial agreement contract with them. And for the life of the contract, we would pay them $22,314. If we break the contract, we owe them $5,064.76 to break the contract is what we owe them. It's 1 year annual fee and then 12 months of their service fee, which is $273 to pay a monthly fee and then an annual fee of $1,688.26 just to have them on retainer. So we would have to pay $5,000 to break the contract, but in the life of the contract, it would save us $8,900. And the fact that we have very few pets, I think it's justifiable to have council look over it, look at the numbers, discuss it. Sue sent out another email. It's been brought to our attention that there's somebody that's willing to take on the dogs and it's only $150 per pet and they're certified and they're licensed. And there is no retainer fee. So that would save the borough thousands of dollars. And they do have a fee structure and they have after hour fees, but their fee structure and their after hour fees are extremely less than the Brandywine SPCA. So if everybody could look over it, it would be something that we would like to discuss and vote on. But we would have to pay them the $5,064.70 to break the contract. 2 minutes. That was 2 minutes brief.
That's perfect. So I think council will have enough time prior to the meeting on Monday night, our October regular council meeting, to look this over, digest it all, and maybe we could look to move forward to possibly breaking this contract and moving those stray dog services.
And I can say for just, you know, being good stewards and maintaining contracts, when I spoke to them, they actually completely understood. They're used to people, you know, calling in 10 or 15 pets a year. And the fact that we only average 2 to 3 a year, he completely agreed that it was probably smart to end the contract. So there'd be no ill will there.
Great. Okay. Okay. So I hope to have more information than what was provided. And obviously Jerry would have to get involved at some point just to make sure any new contract is in the best interest of the borough, and we'll have that on the agenda for next Monday night for council meeting. Is there any questions that anyone has on that? Okay, moving forward to another point I want to talk about briefly under new business. Larry Ward has been our Zoom meeting moderator. He has been our COVID liaison, I guess, with the county. With that being said, those additional services that he's providing, I feel should be compensated. I've talked to Larry about this. I will talk to him some more this week to try and come up with a dollar amount. But I will ask that be on the agenda for the upcoming meeting on Monday night so we could discuss that and see what – to compensate Larry for his time. So, any questions on that or comments?
I just wanted to say thank you, Mr. President. The fact that none of us have had to take a crash course in hosting a Zoom meeting because we have the expertise already in our midst, I appreciate it, and I support the effort that you are making so we can talk about it next week. Thank you, Larry.
Thank you, Larry.
Thank you, Mark. It's going to be really interesting. So good luck.
Yes, very easy transition into this Zoom meeting world, which I think we all find ourselves in. So, Larry, thank you, and we'll talk for the end of the week. Great. Okay, any further questions or new business for tonight?
Mr. President, Jerry Montella, if I may.
Yes, Jerry.
I was advised that there is a, as you know, the Zoning Hearing Board is going to preside over Mattermore night, and it's my understanding it's going to use the Valley Brook Clubhouse area for the meeting. It was brought to my attention that there is a clubhouse rental agreement. It would be made between the Valley Brook Clubhouse Homeowners Association and the borough. I've had an opportunity to look at it, and I would ask that the council make a motion to approve the rental agreement. Valley Brook HOA has graciously agreed to waive their fee of $100. Also, there's no deposit being made. It's strictly an agreement. It's a standard agreement between the HOA and whoever rents the facility. It does. The renter would be responsible, of course, for any loss that would occur. But again, it's only being used, that facility is only being used for one night and for a zoning hearing board. I did have an opportunity this afternoon to take a closer look at it. And I would just ask that instead of the waiver of all the entire amount, I think it would be appropriate if the borough just had a $1 consideration. Certainly, that's not going to be a problem, I would think, with the HOA, based upon the fact that they've waived all the fees for allowing the borough to use the facility for one for a zoning hearing board. So I would ask that the council approve the rental agreement as stated for the one night of September 29, 2020.
I'll make the motion. Is there a second?
I'll second.
The floor is open for discussion. With no discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? The motion is approved. Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you, Mr. President. Who I have.
Okay, moving forward, we have an additional period of public comment.
Drew, yes. I just wanted to say there's an email that came in about a grant for flooding. I'm going to talk to Matt about whether he thinks that's something we could use and possibly become eligible for.
Okay. That's a good idea. Thank you, Susan. I think Matt has left us, but you'll contact him?
Yeah, well.
Okay, thank you. Okay, moving forward, we have an additional period for public comment. We ask that you state your name and address for the record.
Marta.
No, thank you.
Okay. Tony, do you have anything? Nothing, Tony? Okay. J.B. Hatch?
Hi, apologies. I was on mute. Tony Irati, 271 Stanton Court. I was wondering if I could get a copy of that sketch that was referenced earlier tonight in regards to the parking spaces over in Darlington Woods. Is that something I could get from the borough, or do I have to go to DW?
Tony, whatever. If you want to contact the borough tomorrow and leave an email address, whatever Eileen sends into the borough, we can forward you a copy of that. How's that sound?
Great. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay. J.B. Hatch.
Nothing.
Okay. Sam Iannucci. Okay. All I have is AG. Do you have anything for Borough Council? I'm not hearing anything, Drew.
Okay, so that's it, Larry?
That's all I see, yes.
Okay, thank you. Okay, do I have a motion to adjourn tonight's work session?
I'll make the motion.
Is there a second?
A second.
Thank you. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? The motion is approved. Larry, thank you.
The game starts in 20 minutes.
Thank you, everybody.
What game?
Thank you.
Hockey's on tonight. Stanley Cup finals.
Stanley Cup, Monday night. Sorry.
Yeah, but you know,
been a long weekend.
Vegas isn't playing. I think they didn't make the cut. So.
Okay. Thank you, everyone. Now, Kelly, have a good night. Everybody, have a good night. Thank you.